بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مولانا محمد قاسم صادق نعمت في رحمة الله when it engages the English. So there was an all-out battle when Mulana was very active. Came a point where he was exhausted, so he sat down for a few moments and big size, triple size English, he's coming. Why a small thin person? You were the one. You were rousing everybody else. So now when I was exhausted and he's come while I'm sitting down, so he's got an advantage over Mulana. So what is this? What are you saying? See who's behind you. The moment he turned, so Mulana sliced him. No, not like this. I slice him. On one shot, cut him through. This is called Al-Harbu Khudatun. Khudatun can have two or three meanings. One meaning is warfare is deception. And the other meaning is Al-Harbu Khudatun. War is just one deception. In other words, in one stroke of deception, you must do it. In the first stroke, you deceive the person, but in just a single stroke, you must finish him up. Because you can't use it the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. One stroke, you must do what you have to do. Now, there's a difference between deception and treachery. Treachery is haram. Deception in fighting, you deceive the person with your strokes, with your maneuvers, with your styles, that is condoned, is permissible. Right? Like when you're punching someone, right, you show him this hand, so he comes to block this hand. You show him this hand. But when you're going to punch with the other hand. So it's a deception. This deception is permissible. But the treachery is not permissible. Now what's the difference between treachery and deception? We say that today is a ceasefire. Today is a ceasefire. After we said that it's a ceasefire, now you can't attack. Now that's treachery. This is deception that is tolerated, but treachery, that misleading and cheating, that's not right. You announce the ceasefire and then you're fighting, how can you do that? Now, this type of deceptive attitude, in war it is allowed, overlooked. It's deceptive how you going to conduct yourself. But in day-to-day life, this is not going to be tolerated. The ulama-i-kiram have allowed that this can be used to reconcile, to bring people together. You need to get them together, so you say something like a white lie in order to get people together, so they have allowed it. Right? For example, now you are going for Umrah, right? And your wife says, you must get this thing for me, this machine for me. Whatever. So you say, I don't want to spoil my, you don't want to argue with her, but you tell her, you know, I don't want to concentrate on shopping, running around here, there. I'm going for a work, Umrah. My mind is be focused on that work. I don't want to go shopping from one shop to the second one, price, no price. The burden of carrying it right through, coming through the customs. So, you don't want to have all that. But if you're going to discuss it with her, it's going to be a fight. You're going so far, but you can't even do this for me. That's what she's going to say. For everybody you can do, and just the small thing I'm asking for, that also you're not prepared to do for me. So you know that will start another chapter. So what you do, you know, I'll get it for you, don't worry, don't worry. So now that machine she wanted now, she wanted, for example, an ice cream machine. So you went to Soli Bazaar and you got an ice cream machine. And you told them, you know you've got a machine, you've got a manual, right? Put some Arabic papers inside there. You know, you have different languages, English, Afrikaans, French, German, put one. That Arabic one, just put a little bit top. So, as you're coming, say, no, my freight is coming, just now my freight is coming. And you present it. And I say, oh, mashallah, you call it. She says, here that Arabic now, it's confirmed that you got it from overseas. But you avoided a fight. But now you try and do everything by the book with them, and you will lose or they will lose, or both will lose. So you have to make them feel happy, but in a style, a little bit of a style now, how you're going to do it, what maneuvers you're going to do, without going through a whole long chakra of a fight, or burdening yourself, hurting her, hurting you, both getting hurt. Did it, but a little bit in a style you've done it. So that is allowed. But you did it for Isla Zatil Bain. Now this is a little bit of a sensitive thing. If it is done for the wrong reasons, then it's not right. See, in this royal families, so the king will have sometimes three wives, four wives will have, right? And it can turn out that the one wife can be the favorite. So one wife is the favorite, the others become jealous. Whenever you talk about, you talk about Jamila. What about Rabia and others? What about them? Whenever you talk, Jamila. So they feel now, you know, you've got a special spot for her. So the others become envious. So when they become envious, then they connive to put her into the spot so that muhabbat can be decreased. Broken or decreased, so that connive. That is wrong. That's not right. So in India now, you're talking of the Mughal Empire, right? And they thought to themselves that this wife here, she came in as a widow. Right? She came in as a widow. So, and then she's the favorite. She's the widow, and she's the favorite. Now, how do we fix this up? So, they created one custom. They called it Bibi ka Sehnak. Bibi ka Sehnak. So, one custom now, one rasam. Like how they have urus and all these things here. So, they started this thing here. Bibi ka Sehnak. So now, when they spoke about it, Bibi they're referring to is Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, right? Now, in honor and respect of Fatima radiallahu anha, they're arranging a big feast, see, big feast. Now, everybody's called, maybe a bayan or that. So, anyway, now this one year they have to put her in her place. So at the heat of that whole celebration. Lots of people are gathered there. And now they're going to start off, you see, some type of a meal or something in honor of Fatima radiallahu anha to be served to the guests. See. So they say, this one here, but you can't participate. Because Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha was a spinster. She wasn't a widow. Right? So now, embarrassed, she had to leave. But now, how it starts off with this note. So, sometimes it's a compounded wrong. One is, it's a ritual, it's a custom that has started off. And the second here is to hurt and to smash this person here. Break her ego. That she is so thick, so now let's break her. Obviously now for everybody, and she has to get up and move, then her ego has burst. See. Maulana Ismail Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi and Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi, a lot of this type of work they've done to revive the sunnah. Small sunnah or a big sunnah, then lots of it was done by them. Around that time in India, the word salam, assalamu alaikum, wasn't even used. In noble classes, they would say, adab arz, what? Adab arz. They won't say assalamu alaikum. Like, assalamu alaikum, na'uzu billah, was something derogatory. So now, if you were to greet someone, you say, adab arz. In fact, I was one place, in Dawat, and one child greeted his elder, assalamu alaikum. So there was an alim from India there. You nahi kehte, ise kehte adab arz. Yourself. So we don't realize that this custom goes so deep into people. They don't even realize that they are emulating a custom. You have nothing to do with the sunnah. Now, this Bibi Kasanak, you may have heard of Mufti Ilahi Bahush. Rahmatullah Ali. They call him the Khatam-e Masnavi Sharif. He's from Kandala and he was a student of Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very great alim. Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he started his work, people saw. So lots of ulama, great ulama, they linked up with him. So, even Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh, he also linked up with Hazrat Sayyid Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So as he linked up, now Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh Sahib's place, whatever da'wat or whatever. And some celebration of Bibi Ka Sehnak was going on there. So Mufti Ilahi Bakhsh said, ye to mahz isale sawab hai. This is only done to pass on sawab. You're feeding for what? So that the sawab can go to. So Sayyid Sahib said, was an ayat Quran, Muharramun ala azwajina. Wa Muharramun ala azwajina. Here, no. Muharramun ala azwajina. Hadi an amu wahartun hijr. La yatamuha illa min nashaw bizamin. One amun. خالصتن لذكورنا ومحرم على أزواجنا. What? خالصتن لذكورنا وَمُحَرَّمٌ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِنَا. And you see, so Sayyid Sahib said, what about this verse here? خَالِصَةٌ لِذُكُورِنَا, it's only for the males. مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِنَا, the females it's haram. Right? Ahmad Shaheed Sahib Rahmatullahi quoted the verse. Anyway, now that they stopped that, right? Now, that was over, and one child in the house had a golden bracelet. So, Mufti Lai Baksh Singh asked Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi, is this right or not right? So, obviously, it's not right. So, someone asked Mufti Sahib, Tilai Bukhar Sahib Rahmatullahi, but you are an alim also. Why don't you say it? What stops you from saying these things? This is true what you're saying, that we are ulama. But you see, our example against Sayyid Sahib Rahmatullahi is like this. It's like a treasure box, right? In the treasure box is all type of jewelry and ornaments, all that type. So we got the treasure. But he knows exactly what is worth, what is valued, and how it is valued. How this is valued, and how that is valued. How this is placed, and that how that is placed. We got the treasure minus the knowledge of the value. He got the treasure, and he knows the value of it as well. You see this mashayikh, awliya-i kiram, this is that thing that we acquire from them. One person used to come to the Hadi Sahib's dars, you know. Used to have in the Haram Sharif, used to have Sabah. Masnavi Sharif, we have in like before Ramadan. So this alim used to come to Hadi Sahib's dars, and he was quite regular, very regular in the dars. Someone asked him, but you learned this kitab previously, why you insist that you want to sit in the dars of Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi? He said, no, there's no two ways that I did do this kitab previously. In fact, I teach this kitab. But the difference between me and Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi is like this, is one is a person that knows the names of the variety of the chocolates and mitais. This is flake, this is crunchy, this is lunch bar, this is whatever else, flake, whatever. So I know the names. And Hadi Sahib, he knows the taste. Flake will taste like this, crunchy like this, peppermint crisp will taste like this, and sutarfini will be like this, mitai and alwa will be like this. So he knows the taste. We just know the name. We just must naam aata hai. Aur unko to uska zaiqa hasil. He's got the taste of it. See? So are both the same? The one that's got the taste of it, and the one that just knows the name, are both the same. He knows exactly what it is. What it is, he ate it, he enjoyed it, the properties he knows of it. And you just know the name, that's all, nothing else. So Hari Sahib is like that. His knowledge was like that. The depth, see. She says that depth comes in that when that muhabbat increases, see. When that heart becomes more and more refined under the Shaykh's supervision, all that, then slowly these things get in. One thing after the other, the heart becomes so clean, pure. And then with the purity, then that pure love comes in. When the love comes in, now you acquire the taste. When you acquire the taste, then you can't do without it. Then you must have it. Right? Now, how you understand? Taste, zai, zop, you know. Sometimes I'll give an example. Without the example, you can't understand. Someone caught on. 8-9 year old child got him married, right? So does he have any taste? Does he know Say, you think so enjoyable, touching no enjoyment. Trying to lick no free will, nothing. Licking nothing, touching nothing, nothing happening. Now, when he's about 20 or 21, already married, and 3-4 years, I say, can you do about 1 week or something without your wife? Hey, don't talk about that. Now what happened? At 8, there was no taste. And now, what happened? You're talking about someone 23, right? Someone at 60, 70. You also say, hey, you just need the old lady here. You don't interfere. What they tell you that? So what happened? At that age, he had no taste. When the taste opened up, now he understood, now he can't do. He can do without his, everybody has father, mother, everybody can do. But this one he can't do without it. See that? So, Allah will give you that taste. So when the taste comes in, then everything becomes like automatic. Namaz becomes like automatic. You want to do it, you want the urge to do it. Didn't do it, you feel very, very miserable. Very uneasy. Like you see, someone is or somewhat regular on his Isha Namaz, right? And he didn't perform his Isha Namaz. Can he sleep nicely? Can he sleep? He'll be tossing, rolling, tossing, rolling. When he performs the Isha Namaz, Nile come right. Someone is in the habit of performing Fajr Namaz with Jamaat in the masjid, right? So he feels very nice after he's done it. But the day he performs the Namaz on time, but without Jamaat, how does he feel? Does his day go nice? Does it go right? Missed out something, he feels he missed out something bad. Great thing, something great missed out. So he got the taste of it. When you got the taste of it, now to pull him out from it becomes quite difficult. So this is called taste. Mawlana Rum Rahmatullahi, in his kitab, there's a lot of things to learn. See, he was talking of taste. So, when he's talking about taste, you learn things, either you learn it, you learn the word, right? Or you have a qalb salim. Either you learn the word and you understood everything. Or you have a qalb salim. So the right thing is to have a combination of the both. The word and the qalb salim. If you just have one thing or the other, then there can be some problems. For example, person just has qalb salim, pure, clean soul, yes. Like people say today, that no, but my heart is very clean, you know. My heart, there's no filth in my heart. Right. So therefore, if I see something and I learn something, then I learn it right because my heart is sound. Heart is clean. The heart is faulty, obviously what he sees, what he comes across will also be judged with fault, right? But he can't see, right? Can't understand, like someone's eye is not right. What he sees, it'll be faulty, it'll be some problem. But if his eyes is right, then he won't see his own. So the eyes of the heart, if the heart is right, then the heart can see things properly, correctly. Now, if someone uses that as a criterion, then that criterion is not right altogether. Because of four reasons, what time explains this. It is. One is just that what he saw and what he analyzed, it was in the light of the information that he has now. Right? He doesn't have all the information. He has some information, but not all. And with that little information that he's got, so he's coming to some conclusion. So, is he going to be right? Can't be right, because he's got information, but he doesn't have all the information. When he doesn't have all the information, then how he expects to be right? How can he be right? See, we were talking about a rule and an exception, right? Now people don't understand these things. A rule and an exception. The example someone quoted is namaz can be stopped. Why can it be stopped? Because if someone is in his namaz and someone is falling to a well, so it is compulsory for him to break the namaz and help the person. Right? Now that is an exception to the rule. It's not a rule, but it's an istisna. You say namaz is compulsory. This is an exception. Now this, you don't have to come into the fiqh kitabs to quote this type of an, to cite this type of an example. Why? This law is an obvious law and applied and practiced by one and all. Let me ask how. Right? The law is you mustn't trespass. You don't get into the next person's property, right? And if you trespassed, if he shoots you, then he is right in shooting you because you trespassed. You went into his property. He shoots you, he does you something. Because he felt that you were trespassing, intruding, you were a robber, thief, right? And you came in. So therefore you attacked him. So therefore the law will defend you. So that's a law, right? That no trespassing, and if you trespass, that person has the right to hurt you or do something, right? But that's the law, right? Now there is an exception to the law. For example, your neighbor has got a swimming pool, right? And you overlooking into his swimming pool, you saw a toddler crawling, right? And you know in 1 second he'll be drowned, right? 1 second he'll drown. Now what will the law say then? The law will say that now it's compulsory for you to trespass and go and save that life, isn't it? So that's a normal law. You don't have to cite so fiqh kitab and all that. That's a normal law. So the law is you don't trespass. But the exception to the law is that in this type of a circumstance, then it's compulsory for you to jump over, save the person, bring him out. Isn't it? Anybody will tell you that. Similarly now, it is even worse for you to push yourself in someone's home, right? To push yourself and barge into someone's home, break a door. It's a big, major offense, right? If he attacks you, if he hurts you, he won't be wrong if he attacks you. But now, see, that's a law. Then an exception to the law is, for example, you can see that house is in flames and there's an old person there and he can't pull himself out. The old person, right? And he can't take himself out. So the law will tell you now that you break the door and you pull that old man out because he can't walk himself properly. And now you're going to leave as he'll burn to death. So what is an exception? The exception is that you break the door now and pull the person out. So this is an exception to the law. So you can't say now to break the door and get in is permissible. You can't say that. Can you say, make a blanket sweeping statement, to trespass and get into a swimming pool is permissible? Will you say that? No. Why? This is an exception to the rule. Now this is where people confuse, you see. They don't know what is law and what is an exception. Law and what is an exception. So an exception, you quote it as an usul, as a rule. That is not right. It's an exception. In circumstances, you will apply the exception. But the exception, you make it a rule, then you're confusing yourself. You're confusing yourself because, man, someone is drowning, you must go and help him. So you just said that. That much you said. But now you didn't explain the whole thing. This I'm saying, in any law, any country in the world, they will tell you that if you know that an old man there that is handicapped and the house is blazing, they must break the house, break the door and go and save the law. Any law will tell you that. Won't they tell you? But now you make that the law. It's permissible for you to break someone's door. Stop there. Then, see how you're confused. So, fiqh and hadith, so I maintain that everybody mustn't quote it. Because it takes time for you to grasp, to understand the whole context, see it in context. It's not everybody's work. See now, for example, you say Hajj, right? You say Amnu Tariq, right? Amnu Tariq. One of the requirements are that the road must be safe. But is that a shart of wujub? Is it shart of wujub or shart of ada? It is not shart ada, it is shart wujub. What? It's a condition for it becoming compulsory. What? But if there wasn't any aman and the person still went for Hajj, right? Will his Hajj be done? If his Hajj is done, will you say that he is a sinful person, but in spite of them not being aman, then to him, you will say he's a sinner? You will not say he's sinful. See now, the law is a deep thing. Now let me show you one example from our Akabir's lives there. Hazrat Muhammad Khalil Ahmad Salam, Puri Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, Hazrat Shah Sahib used to say that he is faqihun nafs. And he said, dunya mein faqihun nafs ek hi hota hai. Aur kabhi ek do sadi mein ek aadmi hota hai. And Shah Sahib used to speak about Hazrat Muhammad Khalil Ahmad Salam, he said faqihun nafs. Right. He is faqihun nafs. So you can imagine now the level of his understanding of fiqh. So he's done his Hajj and then he's proceeding to Medina Munawwara. So Hadith Sahib is his sheikh. So Hadith Sahib says to him, lekin raste par bahut hi badamni hai. There's a lot of insecurity on the road, attacking now, it's happening, right? Kya hoga? So he turned around to Hadith Sahib that zyada se zyada to shahadat hogi, ye to ain matlub hai, aur is raaste se zyada kaun sa raasta behtar hoga ke ziyarat nabawi ke liye hum hazri de rahe aur raaste mein hame maara gaya usse behtar kaun si saadat ho sakti hai. When he said this now, Hadith Sahib's face actually lit up with happiness. Oh, yes, sab kuch hasil hai. Allah Ta'ala salamati bakhshega inshallah. So if it was that Amnu Tariq was shart ada, shart ada, right, then Hadith Sahib would have accepted this answer, and he being a faqihun nafs would he have said this? Now, Hajj, isn't it a prayer, isn't it ibadat? And he's saying that, but look in Hayatul Khalil, you find the story, right? See, what he's saying? He says, agar shahad, ziyadah ziyadah se shahad hogi, aur yeh toh ayin matlub hai ke ziyarat habib ke raaste mein, agar koi kisi ki ruh parwaas ho gayi, usse ziyadah shahad kya ho sakti hai? Passed away, that path, what else do you want? See, so that's why I say, fiqh and hadith is not everybody's, is not a lawyer's work, that is not an attorney's work, not an advocate's work. It's deeper. Now see, I showed you now a rule and an exception. Now before I explain to you what's a rule and an exception, do you understand this thing? Do you think about it? The house is ablaze. Do you ever think about it? Now you got an understanding. See that. So
So that's why I say it's a different thing. And this one was Sam Pusapar used to be very disappointed with a lot of ulama. He said, but they koi masla ko talash karte hai, bas ek hi masla wo dekh karke fatwa de diya. They saw one line and they gave fatwa on that. Siyaq wa sabaq ko dekhna chahe, puri tarah se. Look at the whole thing, where it's starting from, where it's going to the you know, like you say, the conditions for and against, look at all that. Now you've got a whole picture of the masla, and then you are giving it. Now, inshallah, you will be guided right. But you didn't check the whole thing. Like I just said, to bust the house and go inside is permissible. I didn't check the whole masla, I just said this much. What I said was right. But now, did I mention all the conditions that are attached to it? Yeah, that's what you should disappoint, Mulana. Just looking at one line, and you are passing a fatwa based on one line. How important this is? Allah Pakta Fuji Zikwara.